So I was talking to Phil this week, and I was telling him that what God's showing me right now, because he's just so big, it's like, put your arms as far as you can. And I'm trying to reel it in to bring it to you and unpack it, but it's so much that I'm going to maybe piecemeal it out to you today and try to share with you the best I can what I'm hearing. So my husband and I went on a cruise recently. It was a trip of a lifetime. we went to Alaska, and we were able to see some of the beautiful countryside of the northern area, and the ocean is just remarkable. But while I was on the cruise, I had a dream, and God speaks to me through my dreams. And I woke up the next morning, I told my husband about it, and a lot of my dreams over the years since I was in my early 20s have been spiritual dreams where I was more or less under attack of the enemy and was never getting much victory. But in recent years, 15 years or so, I've come to some victory in those dreams. But in this particular dream, the enemy shows up once more. And I know we're not supposed to give him place, but this is kind of where we're at with this thing I'm trying to reel in a little bit. Charming man in my dreams. I mean, he was like somebody you would want to be drawn to, and he was just a beautiful human in appearance. But there was just something off, and I realized I needed to pray and to rebuke the enemy away. And when I woke, often what I do is I'll ask Holy Spirit, what was that all about? And he just says that he's beautiful and he's alluring and he's got lots of tricks up his sleeve. So in putting together the message for today, I titled it Discerning the Times and Hearing from God, because we're in a day and an hour where if you watch a lot of the news, then you're probably inundated with all the stuff that's coming at us. I don't watch the news as much as most, so I'm not as versed in sharing current world happenings, but enough to where you know that the enemy has the upper hand in some of the areas of our society. And So as we see the day the Lord's return approaching, we need to have wisdom and knowledge to navigate in this time. God is calling each of us to lean in and to listen closely to what he's saying in this day and this hour. And I was thinking about Romans 12 and 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So I just wanted to take a few minutes to thank the leadership, even though they're not here right now. Those individuals that asked me to speak today, and I was ready because I had been asking God, I want to share something. I don't know what it is, but I feel like something just brewing inside of me. And so I just really appreciate the trust that they place in individuals that they let speak. And so I want to just go to a little bit of time in prayer before I start, because I really need Holy Spirit to breathe on the word. The lighting's really not very good up here, is it? It's not good at all. So we'll just take a minute and pray here. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the life that you've given us, and we thank for the breath that you breathe on us. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to breathe on this word that you've placed in my heart, the one that's going to be released out to this congregation today, that will be released in power, and it will not fall void, but it will go out in power, and it will do what it's sent to do, and it will accomplish those things that you intended for it. And we thank you, God, that you receive all the glory. And we just ask that your words would be true, and that they would be solidly placed in our hearts so that we are equipped for this day to be a light to a world that needs more light, your light to shine in and to show that the goodness and mercy of God is ever enduring, and he is kind and faithful and good, and the love of God passes all understanding, and that we are those that carry that light, and we are those that go out to the world to show them the good news of who you are. And we thank you for that today, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the word that you're going to bring to us today and how you're going to enrich our lives and help us to make our lives a better place in this world for ourselves. And as Lisa has shared with our families, that we'll see that growth and those potted plants that are lining this place, the plants that are growing are alive and they're being nourished. And they're being given the water and the care that they need. They're being given the sunlight that's going to increase their growth. And they're going to just rise up, and they're going to shout your name and the glory of who you are. We just give you all the praise and all the glory today in Jesus' name. Wow. Whew. How do you work this, Kathy, when you can't see anything? Got to make it go forward, turn around, go back.
You need some more light. Like, help.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm like, I'm in the dark up here. Come on. More light, more light. So, God wants us to be mature. I was looking at some scripture, and the first one I came up with is Hosea. Oh. Thank you, Rosalyn. Yay, it's up there. So Hosea 4 and 9. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. So God is calling us to be mature and to be ready so that we see as the day is of his return is approaching, that God wants us to have discernment in this time. So in this verse, Hosea, he asks the question, who is wise? And let them realize these things. And who is discerning? Let us them understand the ways of the Lord. So God is calling us to be wise, to be discerning, and to be righteous. This paper is really nice. We had a little bit of a trick getting, I didn't have ink in my printer. So we had to go find a copy store that would print for us. And so we were happy to find that on 4th Street they have a copier location with FedEx. So I just want to send out blessings to the young lady that helped this morning to print the word that I'm going to try to bring to you, that God would bless her and that she would have encounters with who God is in her life. So, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So in Hebrews 5 and 14, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So how are we to know and have the wisdom and the discernment we need? And God is letting us know in Hebrews 5:14 that we need solid food. So we need to be fully mature. You know, when you're raising your children, you're feeding them. I got into a little bit of a conversation on Facebook yesterday, and I ended up having to back off on the conversation. But it was talking about our public schools. You know, I was on the school board for a couple of years, so I kind of am familiar with the expenses that are involved with how we educate our kids and what services we provide and so forth. And there was a discussion about the children and the food and being supplied for them when they're at school. And, you know, kids need good nutrition. They need that really good nutrition. And honestly, the schools, when I was on the school board, they're not really providing good, solid nutrition. But there are some kids that show up at school. They don't have lunch money. Their parents maybe aren't equipped to provide that for them. So the school provides lunches for some of the kids. But unless they get all that good nutrition and all that good food in their bodies, they're not going to be strong. But God wants you to be able to really chew a steak. I mean, if you're a vegetarian, that maybe doesn't work for you. But he really wants you to gnaw on it, you know, take the word of God and really dig into it and really be ready for the meat of the word. Because he doesn't want to always be bottle feeding you, you know, because a baby goes from their milk to the cereals and the fruits and vegetables and so forth and so forth and so on. So he wants you fully mature. And, you know, as I look across the room, I know most of you, and we're mature believers. We've been at this for a while. So we're pretty solid in that maturity. He wants us to have our senses exercised. He wants us to be dialed in with our hearing and our vision and all those things around us that sense the unseen world, as we were singing in the song earlier, you know, those things that we do not see, that we're aware of them. And we need to be, when we are searching out the things of God, be ready to receive wisdom. And discernment is a real key, because as I said, I had the dream, and the enemy comes as an angel of light. He comes as, you know, representing himself as beautiful, you know, somebody that you would want to listen to. And so it's so close to the truth that you have to really be aware of and discern. So there's going to be an increase of discernment, because I'm going to pray at the end of the service that God released that for you, because he's going to give you that discernment that you need. Because he doesn't bring up a topic and say, okay, well, you can't have it, I'm not going to give it to you. He's handing it out. He's dispersing it. He's giving us that wisdom we need. He's giving us the maturity that we need. And he's giving us that discernment that we need, so that we can know the difference between good and evil. So like I said, I had this little conversation on Facebook. It got a little bit, you know, you start getting these differing points of views, so it gets a little bit uncomfortable. So you still share your point of view, but you back off. So sometimes we have to actually express our point of view that's in opposition to what the world accepts. And the issue at hand is it's not going to be easy. We're going to have all that resistance that's coming at us. And so even though we may not be able to make an effective change for those things, that evil may still be represented in our society, we still can be the light, that voice that says, it's really not right, and be able to express ourselves. But see, our voices are being shut down because you're not embracing that lifestyle. And we don't embrace it because it's not who we are. It's not what we have decided to do. It's not what we believe. And we shouldn't have to compromise. We shouldn't have to compromise our belief system, you know, to bend to what the society is expecting us to accept. So that's where we get into this full maturity, where we have to be willing to actually speak out a little bit. And so that, in that way, you can be an influence in the society that you live in, whether it's in the workplace that you're at and you're that voice to that individual that you work with, or whether you are in that place of government where you're on a school board or you're on a city council, because all of those are elected positions and all of us are qualified for those type of positions. It's just, honestly, do you want the headache? Because it, you know, it takes your time, because those are volunteer positions, most of them. They do give you some kind of stipend, usually, to kind of help cover expenses and so forth. But it is a sacrifice of your time if you got that involved in the way things are done in our society. So moving forward, in Psalms 119 and 66, we can pray and we can declare with God to teach teach me, teach us good judgment and knowledge. See, this word here says, teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. So see, he's got it available to you. He's saying, you know, he wants to give you discernment. He wants to give you the knowledge. He wants to give you the good judgment to be able to make those decisions that you need to make to be the influence in your circle of influence. He's going to allow you to have the wisdom and knowledge to be able to be that voice. Because it's that one little comment that, you know, you make every day with that coworker. I mean, think about how much time we spend with coworkers. If you're in the job market, I mean, you go to work every day. You're there 40 hours a week usually, and sometimes later longer than that. And day in and day out, you are with the same people, maybe more so than your own family. And what type of influence? Do they know who you are? Do they know what you believe? You know, when I was working over at the Chamber of Commerce, Carla Howell, she's currently the chamber director in Healdsburg, but she was in Cloverdale at the time, and she and I worked together for several years, and I finally made my way away from the Chamber of Commerce, and I went over to work for Charter Sales Company as their bookkeeper, which is a whole other story and a dream come true, but it was a pretty remarkable story how I got my job. It was a gift from God. And but I left the chamber in good standings, and Carla was out looking for more work because the funds for the Cloverdale Chamber had diminished. And she would email me, and she says, I need some of those prayers that you pray that God will answer. And he answered the prayer, gave her the job. But it was her faith built up in those interactions, those just little tiny interactions where they know who you are, they know what you carry, and they see God move on your behalf. So give me some of that. I want some of that. And so what that does is it builds faith up in them to know that God moved on my behalf. And then they become a voice that shares and goes out and tells others about the good news of what God does in the lives of people. So God, we ask you to teach us, Lord, to help us have good judgment and knowledge, and help us to believe your commandments. Help us to follow the rules and the things that you have put in place to guide us. Help us, Jesus. Thank you, Father. So this piece here I'm going to go into is, it's, this one gets me real excited. This is Daniel, and I don't know if you guys have read much of Daniel in the Bible, but he was a dreamer, and you know, from one dreamer to another. I don't know, you know, as I speak, I'm hoping that you're thinking about how does God speak to you? How do you hear from God? Because the more you hear from him, the more you act on what you're hearing, the more you know that's his voice. And you without a doubt, you know that's his voice. Because he wants you to hear that clearly. Because it might be in an instant that you need to know something that's vital to your safety, to your well-being. Because we don't know what the days ahead are going to be like. We don't know. You've seen the firestorm that hit Santa Rosa. You see all the hurricanes that are hitting other parts of the country. You see over in Hawaii the devastation going on over there with all the volcanic eruptions. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And he's going to give you that wisdom and knowledge you need in that moment for your safety. And you're going to be able to walk in that, believing that he's going to. So how do you hear from him, you know, when you go? He talks to me in my dreams, but I also hear from him throughout the day, because he'll show me something in a dream, and then throughout the day he'll remind me, did you remember this? And I'm like, I'm way too busy here. I got my job to do. I'm just too busy. And he's really polite to me. He says, well, you know, maybe you should do this, you know. And so you stop and you say, oh, okay. So you send that message, or you send that email, or you make that phone call, or you put the card in the mail, or you send that money to that person he's asking you to send the money to. And you know what he wants you to do, so you act on it, and then you do what he's saying. So with Daniel, this story is so amazing because with Daniel, it says that he changes the times and the seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to wise and knowledge to the discerning. So Daniel 2 and 21. It's really, it would be best if I probably read this to you, because it's long. But as I read through this, I'll try to go quickly. You're going to see that God puts him in position. He shows him favor. He gives him wisdom, and he gives him knowledge to be able to navigate this really trying time. Because King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream that Daniel was able to interpret with wisdom and tact. Daniel had a keen way of hearing from God. Still, they were concerned for their lives because the king may cause them harm if they could not tell him the meaning of the dream. He had a vision. He saw the night he sought the Lord for the meaning of the king's dream. And Daniel praised God, as we see in Daniel 2 and 21, that God changes the times and season. He disposes kings and he rises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. So Daniel was sure to let the king know that God reveals the meaning of his dreams. He said, no man can tell you the meaning of your dreams, but God can tell you the meaning of your dream. So he had this really troubling dream. He went to all the current people that he had that could interpret dreams that weren't always hearing from God. And he said, your mind turned to things to come, looking into the future. And God has shown you, Daniel's wisdom comes from God to help you understand. You see a large statue, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of pure gold, the chest and arms were made of silver. Its belly and thighs were made of bronze, and the feet were made of iron and partially of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on the feet of iron and clay, and it smashed them. The iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken into pieces. The wind removed them without leaving a trace. The rock that struck the statue became a mountain. It filled the whole earth, and this was your dream. So I want to tell you what the interpretation is that God gave to Daniel, and he gave it to him in a vision while he was sleeping. It says, your majesty, you are the king of kings, the God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands. He has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, another inferior to yours. Then another third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. As iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break the others. Just as you saw the feet and the toes were partially of baked clay and partly of iron, even so this will be a divided kingdom, yet they will have some of the strength of iron, even as you saw the feet were partly of clay. As you see the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. Just as you saw the iron mixed and the baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be able to be left to another people. It will be crushed. All those kingdoms will bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever, ever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not of human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold pieces. The God, great God, has shown the king that what will happen in the future. The dream is true and interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, he fell prostrate before Daniel, and he paid him honor, and he ordered an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position, and he placed on him, he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, and he placed him in charge of all his wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, that God appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon while Daniel remained in the royal court. So Daniel pursued God in a dream, got a vision, was able to go to Nebuchadnezzar, and was able to give the interpretation to the dream. And the king was so humbled, believed in God, that God is the king of the Lord of kings. And he positions Daniel in the court, and he gives him favor and wisdom and increases his knowledge. So he puts him in a place of influence. So here's God. He's positioned, Daniel positioned himself before God, knows how he hears from God. And when he hears from him, he knows he with confidence, because it was at his demise. He could have been hurt by the king, because the king was off with their heads and that sort of thing whenever people didn't have the right responses to interpret the dream. So this is one example of how God speaks through dreams, and how he is able to shift a person's path to one of position. So where is God positioning you? Where are you in position? And where is he moving you to? Make sure you're listening clearly so that you can follow his leading into the places that he's taking you. I got to watch my clock. Okay. So next we're going to go into the verse Matthew 24 and 3. And we're now in the New Testament. Jesus is bringing his disciples around, and he's out preaching to the people. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age?" So the disciples approached Jesus, and they wanted to hear from him. So they had access to Jesus in a more private level, because they were his disciples, and they were his inner circle, so to speak. So they had that access. We all have the same access. We all can go to Jesus and we can say, "Tell me, I want to know." The thing is, whenever Jesus was on the earth, he did not have the information that they were looking for. He said that only God knows the day and the hour. So you kind of see there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus has not yet been, it's not yet been revealed to him at that time, so he was not able to say when that would be. But So one of the things that I was looking for when I was trying to find out how to bring this message is thinking about I really like the book of Revelations. I like it's kind of a hard book to look at, but what I'm thinking right now is I want to go into that a little bit, because I don't think I have it till toward the end. but I'm going to skip. So in the book of Revelations, there's John. And John is actually the person who wrote the book of Revelations. John also wrote the book of John, and he wrote the other three epistles, John 1, 2, and 3. And John is one of Jesus' disciples. He's in that inner circle I was just talking about. And when he writes the book of Revelations, what fascinates me so much about it is the encounter that he has on such a high level of access to heaven, because he has angelic hosts that are coming to him and giving him the word as he scribes it, and he sees a vision of heaven, and so it describes all of that to when you're reading through it. So when I was praying, I said, God, how is it that I'm going to really get you to grab a hold of this level of discernment that he's bringing to you? Because it feels really weighty to me. And so he told me, he says, look at John, and who is John? And you're John. So that's my point, you know. Is you have the same access that this John has. So, John, that's pretty good, huh? So, in the beginning, I'm reading from the book of John right now, and I just wanted to read just a little bit about who John is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the life of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. When I think about that, I think there was a woman named Vicky who was sent by God. There was a man named John. There was a man named Steve. You know, all of us are sent. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And then he goes on to talk about the true light that gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. And I'm thankful for the light that I can read this. So John was able to access heaven in such a way that he could write four books in the Bible. I mean, John, the epistles are like one, two, and three. They're very short, very brief. But when you read the book of John, he's going to share with you some love of Jesus and how Jesus loves us. And he just reveals so much of who he is, because he was in a close relationship with Jesus. He knew him. He had access to him. He could go and he could say, tell me, I want to know more about the signs of the times and when is your return. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit. So we have Holy Spirit to guide us, to tell us the things we need to know, to help us with our discernment, to help us as we grow in wisdom and knowledge, and to really to kind of give you a little push and a shove. Okay, I'll tell you this story real quick, because there was, I don't know if I've shared this with any of you, but I can see angels. I don't know. I have a seer's gift, and so I can see angels. I don't see them a lot because they're kind of sneaky. They kind of run from me. So I have to kind of be sly, and usually when I wake up, I can see them, the glitter of the sparkles. But this particular night, I was actually almost physically pulled out of bed. I was laying asleep, and all of a sudden my arm hurts so bad. I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened to my arm? This is horrible. So I readjusted it, kind of got comfortable, laid back down. And all of a sudden my arm hurts again. I'm going, what is going on here? This is weird. It's 3 a.m. It happened 3 times. And the third time I sat up on my bed and I said, what is going on? What is it? I got up, I walked out into the middle of my house, and I smelt the gas. I had left the burner on, the flame was off, the gas was all over the room, and my son was out sleeping in the main room because he was staying over. He was on an airbed. I started to open up the whole house. But honestly, I will stand here this day and tell you an angel pulled me out of that bed. Whether it was my guardian angel or whether it was his, he knew he could get my attention. And it was to save a life. I honestly think it would have been detrimental to my son that night had I not wondered what is going on. But three times after your arm is almost out of socket, you're going, something is definitely wrong here. So this is what I'm talking about. Who is God in your life? And would you know it if he showed up? And would he be pulling you out of the bed to help save a life? And would you know that your arm doesn't just hurt, but you are being shoved out of the bed? Get up! And he's not talking to me. He's not audible. He's not saying there's danger in your house. But I knew. I knew. So it's that feeling that Holy Spirit gives you to say, this is really happening. Wake up. I'm going to say it one more time. This is really happening. Wake up. Wake up. We are in a time and a season where we get to see God possibly return into the clouds. And this is a celebration, a time, and he knows each of you. He placed each of you in this day, in this hour, this season. Your children, your grandchildren, everything, they have strategically been placed. And like Lisa said, with my boy sitting in this place, in the supernatural, she is seeing it. Is it natural? Are they here? Is it even a thought in my head that it'll happen? I doubt it today, okay? My faith is diminished in, as far as them wanting to pursue the things of God. But I know how I raised them. I know what I put into them. I invested a lot. And I know that I hope every day to see that happen. So when I hear somebody speak of it that walks in the prophetic, that sees things in a dream, it's mine. It's mine. I own it. I take it. It's mine. And I'm thanking God for it today. I'm thanking God for it today. I'm really super excited about it. So this is discernment, is knowing good and evil. Because it's so close that we are going to find in this day and hour that Mark 13 and 22 says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And each one of us sitting here that believes in Jesus Christ, we are the elect. So we are susceptible to deception because he looks really good and you want to listen to him and it's really close to the truth. Really close. But you got to be willing to say, something's off. Something's off. And then you got to see it for what it is. And you got to say, I rebuke you, Satan. Go in Jesus' name. And that's all it takes. Get thee behind me. But if you ignore him in the room, and if you let him continue to stay, he will wreak havoc. So you have to draw a line in the sand and you have to say, not on my watch. No, you're not taking him down. Not happening. I have walked my property. I have dispatched angelic hosts. I have asked God to do these things for me. And I have drawn a line in the sand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're faithful. So I skipped over a little bit, and I talked about John earlier. So you see that there, I guess. So John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice, a trumpet, which said, write a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. And if you go into the book of Revelation and start reading it, I mean, I'm an advocate. I say, go read it. Because he describes the three churches, and it's kind of like you see the way the churches are today and maybe some of the things that might be issues or things that they could correct. And so it helps us to know, too, how are we going to represent ourselves as the church? You know, who are we and how are we representing God in this day and this hour? So in Matthew 24 and 7 and 8, it says, nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. So we have we been hearing about any wars? I think there's some issues going on and some famines. I think that, yeah, when I was looking at pictures, it's so sad. So sad that there are children in the world that are hungry. It's really sad. And then earthquakes, you know, in some very different places. I think we're going to be seeing some of those. So there's signs in the times, things that are going to be happening that are unusual, and that we can look at those things. And when you start seeing them, it's, you know, it's not to cause fear or to cause you to worry, because God says only live for today and plan for tomorrow, but, you know, not to worry about those things, because he's going to take care of it. So the Lord is calling you to listen and to grow in your discernment. And I wanted to, while I still want to pray with you, I wanted to kind of leave you with Psalms 24, and I'm going to read that to you guys. And it says, Psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the sea and he established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has a clean hands and pure heart, who do not trust in an idol or swear by false gods. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seeks your face. God of Jacob, lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory, the Lord Almighty? He is the King of glory. So I feel like what I've brought to you today is a little bit of a heavy message, because it's, you know, we don't always like to think about times of trouble. But I also wanted to leave you with some encouragement that God has released to you today, an increase of discernment, an increase of good judgment, an increase of knowledge. He wants you to have these things because he knows what's ahead for you in the rest of today, the next week, months, and he knows what he has planned for you in your future. So today I just want to pray with you before we go. If anyone here needs extra prayer, just, you know, there's maybe something that's happening in your life that you just need a private time to talk with someone, then we're going to have some prayer teams at the front after the service. If there is anyone today that's having a struggle where they feel some oppression in their life and they feel like they need to have some release from the demonic, if you feel strongly that there's something going on that might be causing you to be pressed down, then I would like to pray for you personally. I was shown in a dream last night that there's maybe some deceiving spirits that are kind of bothering someone, and I don't know if that's in this room today or not, but if it's you and you think you might need some prayer, then I'm more than happy to pray for you. And thank you for taking the time to be with me here today and to listen to what God had to say. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this word, and we thank you that you're going to do what you want to accomplish through this word. And we ask, Father, that you would guard our hearts and that you would protect our minds so that we would not lose what you have placed in us today. And as we all grow into those beautiful plants, those beautiful arrangements of beauty that you have made us to be, I ask that you would release today that discernment that you're providing for each of us. God, like a mighty rushing wind, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would just blow across this congregation and that you would just touch the hearts and lives of every person in this room and every person listening on the podcast. Father God, that you would release discernment to those who are reaching out to you right now and wanting more. That discernment would increase into their minds and their hearts and their lives, and that their spirits would be just at a place where they're in a greater awareness of who you are, that they hear from you, that they see those things in the spirit, that they are able to feel and know when you are doing a work in their lives, that they would partner with you, Holy Spirit, so that the work that God wants to do in this life that they're living would not be stopped or blocked in any way, and that your power would move through each one of these individuals, and that we would each show good judgment, and that we would each know, Father God, that you would just prick our spirits, Father God, to know when that enemy is in there deceiving us, that there would be no deception. I say no deception for any of us. That we, as the elect of God, we stand before you, Father, and we say that we will seek your face, Father God, and we will hear your voice, and we will see the works of your hands in this lifetime. We thank you, God, that you're preparing us this day for what's ahead today, tomorrow, and into the future. Thank you, God, that you bring all wisdom and knowledge and that you provide it for us. So just, Father, help each of us to know how we hear. Help us to be increasing in the things that we hear. And help us, Father God, to be increased in our faith so that when those moments come and we know that we know without a doubt and we don't hesitate, we don't stop, we act. So I say, go! Go! God is sending each of us, and I am ready to go. And I thank you, God, for the privilege of being called a child of the King, of the Most High. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory today in Jesus' name.